was as a second-year medical student in Saigon that she discovered a New Testament in the university library. She committed her life to following Jesus Christ and realized that God had a plan for her life. So she did not finish medical school, as the communist government of Vietnam realized the value of the napalm girl as a propaganda symbol. So she believed that no man could ever love her with her disfigurement. But later, when she studied in Cuba, she met Bui Huy Thuan, another Vietnamese student whom she married in 1992. So they went on their honeymoon in Moscow, and during a refueling stop in Newfoundland, they left the plane and asked for political asylum in Canada, which was granted. In 1994, she was designated as the Goodwill Ambassador for Peace by UNESCO. And then in 1997, she established the first Kim Folk Foundation in the United States. In 2004, she spoke at the University of Connecticut about her life and experience, learning how to be strong in the face of pain and how compassion and love helped her heal. So look at her. She said in her book, "Forgiveness made me free from hatred. I still have many scars on my body and severe pain most days, but my heart is cleansed." Napalm is very powerful, but faith, forgiveness, and love are much more powerful. We would not have war at all if everyone could learn how to live with true love, hope, and forgiveness. She asks, if that little girl in the picture can do it, ask yourself, can you? So it's a beautiful picture of love and forgiveness. Today, I will share with you a message entitled Love 101. Very, very practical. In the dictionary.com's 21st century lexicon, 101 is an adjective. It is defined as basic elementary knowledge. Its etymology is from the numbering of introductory college coursework. That's why we have Music 101, Health 101, etc. So, I will share with you the basic elementary knowledge of what classifies a Christian. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It is like without the knowledge and application of love, the rest of what we do as Christians is nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3 says that though we speak in the tongues of men and of angels, though we have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though we have all faith so that we could remove mountains, no, and all knowledge, and though we bestow all our goods to feed the poor, like Mother Teresa, and though we give our body to be burned, but have not love, it profits us nothing. Imagine. The theme of 1 John 4, writes the commentator from the InterVarsity Press commentaries, is God's life-giving life. And then the commentator adds that as the Apostle John develops this theme, he makes three important points, which I will borrow to show all of us what Love 101 is all about. So what are the three main important points? Number one, God is the source of all love. This is in 1 John 4, 7-8. Number two, God models what genuine love is. That is 9-10. And then number three, the most difficult of all, God commands us to love one another. So I will combine points one and two today. Let us look at the first point. God is the source of all love and models what genuine love is. We know the song back when we were children, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another." 1 John 4:7 and 8. Okay? I was really blown away by the commentary of our Lolo, no? John Wesley, about God is love. He said, this little statement, God is love, brought St. John more sweetness, even in the time he was writing it, than the whole world can bring. God is often styled holy, righteous, wise, but not holiness, righteousness, or wisdom in the abstract, as he is said to be love, intimating that this is his darling, his reigning attribute, the attribute that sheds an amiable glory on all his other perfections. So his love is like the glitter on all his other perfections. God's love reaching out to us. Speaking of reaching out, perhaps we are familiar with Michelangelo's painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. More or less 500 years ago, Michelangelo painted the creation of Adam, among others. According to history in the headlines, Michelangelo at first was not willing to do this project. He was working on Pope Julius II's marble tomb when he was asked to do the Sistine Chapel. And he complained that he was a sculptor, not a painter, and he had no experience whatsoever with frescoes. But anyway, he said yes to the request and spent 4 years of his life perched on scaffolding with his brush in his hand. Looking at his misery, he wrote a friend. He said, "I've already grown a goiter from this torture." He went on to complain that his stomach squashed under my chin. Can you imagine? That his face makes a fine floor for droppings, and that his skin hangs loose below me, and that his spine's all knotted from folding myself over. So he ended up with the affirmation that he shouldn't have changed his day job. He said, "I am not in the right place. I am not a painter." But despite his discomfort, we know how that work became so famous that millions of tourists flock to this place. I believe Dr. Tink has been to this place. And this is also the place where the cardinals gather to elect the Pope. So if we look at the creation of Adam, we see how God reached into human life. Some theorists think that the scene also contains the unmistakable outline of a human brain, formed by the angels and robes surrounding God. So I tried to do it? Maybe. According to Franklin Meshberger, the doctor who pioneered this hypothesis, Michelangelo meant to evoke God's bestowal of intelligence on the first human. Maybe he's right, but we can always think of this picture as God reaching out to us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." So the Bible in a nutshell, God is the greatest giver. So loved is the greatest motive. I remember Dr. Larry Wood when he preached here. He said, "There is no pain as intense as the pain of love." I was listening to the radio yesterday. There was one guy, very young. He fell in love with a woman, and the woman had broken his heart. He fell into depression and never came out. So right now, he is still at large. His parents cannot find him. No? So we must be careful when we love, especially forbidden love. Okay? C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, writes, God who needs nothing loves into existence wholly superfluous creatures in order that he may love and perfect them. He says, if I may dare the biological image, God is a host who deliberately creates his own bulate, no? His own parasites, causes us to be that we may exploit and take advantage of him. Imagination, the Lord's love. C.S. Lewis continues, herein is love. This is the diagram of love himself, the inventor of all loves. But sometimes we doubt the love of God in our lives. I would not go to others. I would just look at myself. There are so many times that I doubt God's love. One time when I attended the conference in Bangkok, so of course I prayed for my daughter, for my personal driver, for our family, you know. But when my driver Skyped me one night, he told me that somebody stole the side mirrors of Dr. Land's car. So I have been telling my personal driver, don't use Dr. Land's car. But of course, our car is coded on Friday, so he cannot use it. So he borrowed it. So when he slept that night, when he woke up in the morning, the side mirrors were gone. So I was so angry, you know. So I prayed to the Lord. So I asked God, Lord, I already prayed to you. You are the God of love. You are my shepherd. But why did you let that thief, you know, take away those side mirrors? You could have stopped that thief by sending a lightning or paralyzing him or her, you know, before he or she could take it. But why did you let that happen? After all, it's a missionary's car. It's, you know, holy, anointed. So anyway, I cannot reconcile the Lord's, you know, the reality of God's love and real life. But then I didn't know that because of that event, of course we had to replace them, that our church was able to give money so that we can have a parking space inside the gate of the church so that any thief cannot get in. And then through the church's board of trustees, we now have a barangay tanod. In fact, I think two. Barangay Tanod are the security of the barangay, you know. They were assigned to watch over our cars while the church service is going on. Diva, all things work together for good. I know that you too have experienced God's love through these events. The Dr. Catherine Stonehouse wrote a book with Scotty May on childhood faith experiences. So they gathered a huge amount of material on how children process their faith and what are the settings where children's faith can be nurtured, no, in that book. So I tried one of their questions on my daughter. By the way, I asked her permission to share this story. So I gave, what did I do? Did it come back? So I gave my daughter paper and pencil, and then I just asked her, Zoe, can you please draw God? So in my mind, maybe she will draw a throne or clouds or whatever. But very quickly, she just drew a cross, very fast. And then she said, there, Mama, and then goodbye. Only a cross. So please pray for Zoe, okay? So that according to Dr. Kathy, there will be no memory of her not loving the Lord. Very beautiful prayer. But now that she's grown, you know, 6 years old, Dima had a project, so he asked the children also how do they draw God. So Zoe, according to Dima, answered, God is with us. God is beside us. And then Dima told me that Zoe drew a picture of God holding children, explaining that Jesus is a friend of children. Oh, praise the Lord. So I hope that she will be like this forever and ever. Okay? But I still like her drawing when she was 3 years old. Very simple. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Nosebleed naman tayo dyan, no? But the Microsoft Thesaurus says that the synonym for propitiation, synonyms are pacification, soothing, calming, conciliation. So I decided to just read the easy-to-read version. It says, true love is God's love for us, not our love for God. He sent His Son as the way to take away our sins. To take away our sins. Now for the second and last point. The practicum, or the application of love 101. God commands us to love each other. The commentator Marshall says, the author is writing his audience that their love for God must be expressed in obedience to His commandment to love one another. Those who love thereby demonstrate that they are born of God. This is really easier said than done. It is so easy to say, diba, the young people nowadays, love you too, where na you, here na me, no? But when life gets tough, our love flies out of the window. In some homes, there are flying saucers. So it's good that APNTS has screen, no, in our homes. Or else all the flying saucers will be landing in somewhere else's house. Like that pastor's wife who was so angry with her husband on a Sunday morning. Well, the husband was preaching, so the wife with her smoldering with righteous indignation nose, no, murmured herself loud enough to be heard by the members. This is a Surigaonon wife, no, Pastor Amini. While the pastor is preaching, there's no Surigaonon here. But the wife said, kabakakan situn, meaning lies, lies, lies. No? That is why, pastors, you should not fight with your wives on a Sunday morning. Or else, you already know what will happen. Okay? Loving can sometimes take away something very precious from us. I think you have heard the story of the chicken and the pig, no? So I retrieved this sermon from this story from sermoncentral.com. So the pig and the chicken were strolling on a hot summer morning. After a long and tiresome time, they came upon a restaurant with a sign that read, oh, that's the husband and wife fighting, ham and eggs. So the chicken said, let's go in, I'm starving. So the pig responded, not me, pal. For you, it's merely a question of a small donation. But for me, it's a matter of total commitment. Once the pig gives his ham, goodbye, Philippines. For the chicken, she can lay another egg. But of course, if it's also lechon manok, goodbye, Philippines also. Okay? How do we obey this command to love one another? Well, we can show our love through our actions, thoughts, and words. And where? Everywhere. Sometimes of all places to show love to our family is the hardest. I don't know. Sabi nga nila, they said, married life is full of excitement and frustration. In the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. In the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. In the third year, they both speak and the neighbor listens. No one will listen anymore. Okay? Oh, Dr. Tink, ha? So in my case, this is a public confession. On the first year that we were married, although I already learned all the lessons of, you know, being a good wife like that, but when conflict arises, you will forget everything. So our place in Butuan is part of the men's dorm. So the faculty quarters are there. Meaning, in Tagalog, dingding lang ang pagitan. Meaning, there are only the walls, you know, that divide our quarters. So meaning, if husbands and wives fight, the rest of the world can hear it. So, for me, I seldom brag about myself. Only pag may time, no? So I am a Girl Scout platoon leader, meaning I have a good voice. Like, liko sa kaliwa, like that. I am the captain of the Delta Company. Imagine. I was awarded MVP. So, you can see that I'm pretty confident about my personality, especially my voice. So, of course, when we fight, especially when I think I was right, which is most of the time, my voice would transcend through the walls. So one day, of course, we were fighting. And then my husband, always the good guy, he would always say, keep your voice down like that. Once he said that, I replied at the top of my voice, why would I be ashamed of them? Did we ever borrow rice from them? Never! So instead of him trying to make me silent, you know, I used my battalion commander voice. So he unleashed the tigress in me. But, of course, we need to give up all those big voices. And then apply to our marriages and our lives, loving one another. So singles, take note of that, especially boys. Remember one person said, I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. Especially if your girlfriend has taken holistic child development. She will always be right. How about loving our neighbors? It's so easy to love a neighbor who always gives us soup, you know, like that. Like my neighbor, Minnie Grace. So when Zoe will have no more snacks, I would just tell her, go to Nanay Minnie. And when she comes back, she already has so many snacks. How about a neighbor who's very loud, you know? A doormate who takes all of your time. When I was still a student here, like 14 or 15 years ago, I had a doormate who really gave all of us a hard time. She would say, Nets, because she's very sweet, do you have a minute? And then I would go and then help her. And then she would say, can you please explain this sentence to me? So I will explain the sentence. And then she would open her book and all the highlighted paragraphs are there. How about this and this and this? I thought it's only a sentence, you know. As a Filipino, I could not bring myself to tell her that she has to let me go because I also have other requirements. So maybe one night the Holy Spirit told her to let me go. So she let me go. At other times, she would ask other Filipino women to explain to her until we reached the point of playing hide and seek with her. So we developed some kind of a code, you know. Is she there? No. Then we will run and then we will lock our dorms, our room. As I look back to that experience, I realized we were really selfish in one way or another. That student never finished, and we did. She got so physically sick that APNTS had to send her back home. Were we happy? No, we were like, after she left, are we happy now? Because we can enjoy our peace and quiet. Okay, so we must love our neighbor. And then, God expects us. Oh, who is that? That is Dr. Land, okay? So, he preached last Sunday on Malachi 2. He preaches in our church just sitting down. No, that's when he was telling a story to the children. So, you can hear his preaching through our Facebook page. Love no matter what. Regardless of people's political agenda. Perhaps you have known this issue about my country. So these are our soldiers, and they are just using this leaf as their plate. And then I think that is, what is that, dried fish? And then rice. No, imagine, they are fighting a war and they have no good food. So they say we have corrupt senators. And I think that Times or the Newsweek has labeled us as the most corrupt nation in Asia. So, but we need to pray for them. We also need to love people regardless of their sexual orientation. Whether they are transgenders or whatever, we need to reach out to them. And then we also need to love people regardless of their lifestyle. Sometimes it is more than just a donation like the chicken. Sometimes it is a total commitment like the pig. And then finally, we can love through our words. Words are very powerful. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words like I love you, thank you, sorry. Not all those sharp words like sword, bolo, knife, or whatever. Proverbs 12:18 says, thoughtless words cut like a sword, but the tongue of wise people brings healing. So if my daughter does something right, I would always say, that's from me. If she does something wrong, that's from you. Like the mom song, must be your father's DNA. James 3:5-8, the tongue, small part of the body, yet it has a great, you know, yet it has great pretensions. Think how small a flame sets a huge forest ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue represents the world of wrongdoing among the parts of our bodies that pollutes the entire body and sets fire to the course of human existence and is set on fire by hell. There is a proverb that says, the tongue is 3 inches long but can burn a man 6 feet tall. That's how powerful our tongue is. Words are alive. Cut them and they bleed. Speak when you're angry and you will make the best speech you'll ever regret. Speech is the mirror of the soul. As a man speaks, so is he. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are endless. When you have spoken the word, it reigns over you. When it is unspoken, you reign over it. And words can change so many things. Let us take a look at this video.
Thank you. What did you do to my sign?
I wrote the same, but in different words.
Thanks, love.
So, brothers and sisters, let us remember the lessons in Love 101. First, God is the source of love and models genuine love for us. Second, God commands us to love one another. This is the power that made Kim Phuc Phan Thi rise above her anger and trauma. It may be hard, but Peter, the Apostle John's fellow disciple, in his book in 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." May God bless us all. And I will do the benediction. Let us all stand and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We would not be here, Lord. We would not be sitting here or studying here or teaching here, Lord, without your love and grace to us. Help us, O God, although sometimes it may be difficult to love, to forgive, to give up whatever it is, Lord, that we are harboring against somebody, just to reach out to them. Help us, O God, to shine forth, Lord, your love in our lives. Brothers and sisters, as we leave this place, let us not forget this verse. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In Jesus' name, amen.